Oh my goodness. Well, you know, here we are. Ready, set, go. You got your seatbelts on? All right. You know, I'm looking forward to getting into that plane. You know how it goes. You look out the window and all of a sudden the engines start and you start going forward and you're being pushed back in the seat and like, whew, glad that's over with. But you know, it's not over with us yet. No, we look at today and we see a lot of people living in the past. You know, you can only live in the past for so far before you realize you're getting further behind and behind and behind. And God wants us to bring us up to today. And I already had a message already planned out. Now, I'm not changing the subject. I'm looking at my musicians here, and I'm like, I'm not doing that again. But they are wonderful people. They work great with me. They understand, and they have lots of love. And we just do it in Christ, and He gets the glory. But what I'm saying is in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, you know, we're dealing with a very devilish, wicked society, and it's called woke. And I'm going to get into why it's permeated our society with Jesus and why it's permeated our universities, colleges, and campuses everywhere, and the confusion that it's caused apart from God's peace that passeth all understanding and godly wisdom compared to earthly sensual wisdom. If it feels good, you know, do it. The itchy ear, oh, it feels good. Yeah, scratch it right there at sweet spot. I don't want to be told that I'm a sinner. I don't want to be told that I need to be saved. You know what? I'm on my own side. I'm not on the Lord's side. I'm going to do my own thing. And that's where the woke problem starts. But to get into context, let me bring you back here to James chapter 3. I believe it was written, a lot of this, James chapter 3, to teachers. And last week we looked at, you know, look, James chapter 3, verse 1. Look, you know, there's not going to be many that are called to be teachers. And there's going to be a stricter judgment on what? Those false teachers, those. And I'm not talking about those that are novice, that are learning. And if you're going to be a teacher, you got to do it right the first time. And you need guidance from other teachers, other counselors. We have one man here. I'm not going to mention his name or point him out, but he taught for 44 years and he's retired. Are you kidding me? He hasn't retired yet. He's still got all those goodies to share with people and so on and so forth. But people, for those who have retired, you're not really retired. You know, I don't know who came up with that word anyway, but they continue doing what they like to do, what they've been called to do, what God's called them to do. So getting back here to James, to be a teacher, you have to be careful, okay? And what, you know, we looked at last week about what you say, okay? We've got into all that, all right? But, you know, like what it says in Psalms 19:14, let the words of my mouth and my meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's what David said. We're meditating. We're saying what we need to say. Now, James chapter 3, verse 13 says this, as we get into what Paul has already mentioned in the scripture reading. The introduction, verse 13 says, who is wise with understanding among you? Now, for those who are gifted and called, and we're all gifted and called in different areas, that I could never step into your shoes. I wouldn't dare do that because you've been gifted and called to do what you've been called to do today. Let me encourage you today. So, chapter 3, verse 13 says, who is wise with understanding among you? Okay. Let him show by good conduct. So number one, you have to live a presentable life before our Lord Jesus Christ. After you were saved, you produce what's called our good works in Christ Jesus. Okay? Some people got it the wrong way. They think they got to work first and then they can get into Jesus. Okay? And that's called a work salvation. So therefore, we need to keep this in mind. That we, number one, we have to have good conduct. Number two, that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. What does that mean? Meekness means strength under control. You're a very strong person. You are a man. You are a woman that God has called you, and you got it under control because you're not pumping up yourself with pride and selfishness and sensual things. You know, you run to anything that feels good, okay? And we know we live in a devilish world, a world that's against God, but is very sneaky, very slimy, and is like a snake in the grass, okay, ready to bite people. And so we have to be with caution with the Word of God, and we need to stand true. You know, I told people in Sunday school, I said, revivals start with the Word of God. We need to pray for pastors that they preach more of the Word of God, that, you know, people understand the Word of God, because that is just, today we're seeing that happen more than anything else. The worldly wisdom is taking over. Now, where does wisdom begin? It began with God. God is perfect in wisdom, okay? But mankind has taken certain parts. It's like having a plate of food and you're like, you know, oh, I like the meat and potatoes, but I don't like the vegetables. I hate that broccoli, right? You're, you know, done that way. There's a right way to cook something and a wrong way to cook something. So with this being said here, going back here to James chapter 3 and verse 13. So we need to have that strength under control. We need wisdom. It's with our knowledge, the things that we know and how to use it. Okay, I've met some very smart people intellectually that are genius level, but sometimes they do the dumbest things. They have no concept on how to use it sometimes. They're that smart. And, you know, autistic people can be that way sometimes, slightly autistic. But, you know, you got to love them, you understand them. You're like, wow, let me help you, okay? Some people do have those handicaps, but they can be helped. They can be directed by what? Teachers. By you and I who can teach. We're all teachers in one way or the other. And so, now, with that being said, so we're going on here with verse 13. The meekness of wisdom. All right. So one, it's our good conduct. Number two, it's our works. And number three, it's the meekness of wisdom. Verse 14. We're going to look at false wisdom here. And this is what I wanted to, you know, this is what the Lord laid on my heart about this message. I spent hours on this message because I had one. God said, no, you're doing something else. Good enough. So we see here in verse 14, it says, but if I have bitter envy, it has the idea of coveting what somebody else has, okay, as we are today. And also, don't mix that up with envy and being jealous. Jealous is just people being bitter what other people have. And self-seeking. That means has the ambition to get ahead in life. So there's people who are not satisfied what they have today in life, and they want what you have or what somebody else has. And that's what they call equity today. That idea of the woke philosophy was that, you know, everything needs to be shared. You know, it all has to deal with also the World Council of Churches have promoted this for years, communism, liberalism, and globalism. It all ties in. And you're saying, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, I'm telling you that look at the news. Things we're living in very confusing times. And I'm trying to say there is the truth that can set us free today. So it says here also, warning not to let that sin that so easily beset us set in our hearts. That's bitter envy and self-seeking, and not to boast and lie against the truth. Now, verse 15. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Verse 16, for where envy and self-seeking are, and they do exist today, everywhere, there is confusion. That word confusion, I want you to think about this in every evil thing that is there. And this is what jumped out of the passage to me, was this word confusion. I was looking at the news this past 4, to 8 years. What is happening to our society? Where is God? What happened to him? He just seems like he disappeared out of many churches. Well, number one, we're going to look at the sign of the times that we're looking at. Number two, we're going to look at what's happened. Well, one is in the news. Two is what's happened to our Christian colleges and university, why they have accepted this woke theology. It's all about woke. The crossing of the borders, all this is all about the woke. It's the new age. It's the coming of the new world order. And let me tell you this too. Number three, we're going to be looking at what does the Bible say to confront this confusion? Because that has a lot of people confused. A lot of people think we're losing our minds because we look at the news, nothing makes sense. Well, it does make sense under the lens of God, and we're going to deal with it. It's like they say, when we got problems, we got to march on, right? March on, Christian soldier. We're going to deal with this now because we know the truth and we know the difference between a lie. Okay, it all started with our schools of the evolutionary dogma. But evolution course is not a fact but a theory, but has been taught in fact for many years in public school systems. So number one, we see the they teach it as a fact. It's got a lot of kids deluded. A lot of kids are confused out there, even teachers. Even since, you know, they started taking Bible out of the schools back in June 1962. You know, it's just progressed, the progressism. Self-autonomy, the idea that people, including children, are not their own authorities. Brother and I were talking about this last week, how children go ahead and sue their parents. Okay, where does that come from? All right. Now, let me stop here before I get into other examples here. What is woke? It's a racial prejudice and discrimination. That term became very popular back around 2010, and they've used it for everything now. Everything. It's like a religion. If you're not woke, you're wrong. Okay? Wow, but I'm a Christian. Well, there's things that you're going to hear. It's like, I heard that in the news. I don't get it. Well, you're going to get it here this morning through the Word of God and His grace and His mercy. Situation ethics has the idea that there are no absolute rights or wrongs in about heaven and hell. Okay? There's no absolutes. And guess what? You can do what you want. Let it just go. Sexual freedom. The idea of public sex education is necessary, but without morals. You just look at what's going on there in our schools, and it makes you quiver. Also, too, total reading freedom. The idea that children should have the right to read anything. Look what's happened to our libraries. They have pornography in the libraries today. It's all about woke. It's about our racial freedom for those people who are being oppressed by the white person. Okay, and I'll get to that in a minute. Just hold on here. Death education, promoting the idea that there is no hope beyond the grave. Okay, they teach that in schools today. Internationalism, the idea of the world citizenship is preferred to national patriotism. That's why you have the fight that we have today with our government fighting against one another. One wants globalism, the other wants nationalism. Okay, socialism, the idea of socialism is superior to private ownership. You ever heard somebody say here in the news recently, you will be happy if you don't own anything? This is the wisdom, the worldly wisdom today. Let me tell you, open your ears up. Listen to what I say. Well, God is telling us today. Looking at breaking into stores. Well, you have to take care of the criminals. They're oppressed. Okay? White supremacy. You know? You got to take over everything. Equity means we share everything. It's a form of communism. It's the wisdom of the world. In the news, the borders, people coming over the borders. Why? Because we need to share everything. You know, criminals being oppressed, okay, and on. And another area here is political correctness. The political correctness movement is an attempt the schools and corporations control what students and employees have to say. It's about control. Again, that's another earthly wisdom that we're facing today in the news. I haven't even gotten to the universities yet, and Christian's universities and why they're teaching is garbage today. Tolerance gone extreme, as the common view is we should never criticize another culture or question by individuals' morals decisions. because all of you should be equal and respected. Why missionaries are, I'm finding out about this more and more and more. The reading I do, I find out that missionaries are not liked and respected because you are disrupting our culture. We want to be left alone. We don't want to hear about Jesus Christ. We don't want to be know about the forgiveness of sin. I'm going to get into some theology here when we talk about the Christian universities. They're getting into this. Revised literary interpretations. People no longer accept the words of a written text, including the Bible, at face value. They reject the grammatical historical understanding of what is written, and instead of their own meaning to the text. So many people today are like, well, I don't know. I think I'll pick this out of the Bible and that. I'm like, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of hosts, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. You don't want to touch the word that is holy, that is sanctified. That is something that you don't mess with. Okay? I fear the Lord. Do we fear the Lord today? Yes, we do. Do we tremble at his word? Yes, we do. There is not going to be revival in the land until we start humbling ourselves before God and seek his face. Radical victimology means victims of all kinds being represented group with only one hope, which to strip power from the dominant group of victimizers. A lot of people say, I'm a victim, okay? Oh, I tell you what, I can show you some real people who suffered through tornadoes today and hurricanes. I will tell you who are victims out there, but they're fighters, and buddy, they are going to fight back and they're not going to give up. And then, of course, there's the altered histories. What happened to all these statues that were broken down? That goes with woke too. Histories that purposely live out even major events in the past and further agendas oppress special groups. So that's all part of that. Let's take it apart. Do this. And I believe a lot of our young people today are hypnotized. I believe that they've been taught wrong in these universities. Anybody here been to a university campus recently in the past 10 years? I tell you what, if you're a Christian, you're the minority. Definitely the minority. And then, of course, distortion of sexual identities. Believe that male and female are sexually created categories intended to enslave women and men. And humankind is not the compromise, not of two sexes, but at least five genders, and on and on. And say, this is crazy stuff. How did we ever get here? Well, because we are in a spiritual battle. And this list could go on and on. But all has to deal with woke. And, you know, I haven't even gotten to the important part yet, is that what the devil wants to do, he wants to do away with our government. He wants to do away with our family. And of course, he wants to do away with our churches. And he's doing a very good job. I'm not going to get into statistics with families, but you already know they're falling apart. I'm not going to get into statistics about our government. It's falling apart. I will get into the statistic about our church today. We have churches that are very strong that will stand up. Who's by the Lord's side? You know, it's you and I. We will march on. And if it costs us our lives or whatever we have, like our forefathers, I often wonder about, you know, the 4th of July. I think about those forefathers who signed the Declaration of Independence, who lost their homes and lost their lives and lost their families for that document. And it's Judeo-Christian the way it is. And the woke wants to change that too. And they're going to start, as they call it, the Alpha Generation now. From 2010 to 2024, they call it now the Alpha Generation. You have your millennials and your baby boomers and so on and so forth. But, you know, who are this Alpha Generation? Who are they going to be like our teenagers today? What are they thinking? They are a confused mess right now. They are confused little puppies. And we need to draw them back to Jesus Christ. We need to tell them that this, thus saith the Lord God, in love. Without love, it means nothing. So what's happening within our churches that they're even promoting this in our Christian universities, campuses, colleges, and so on and so forth? And I'm very thankful for small colleges, Christian colleges, that do not get into this woke theology. And also, too, I'm very thankful for the one that I was with years ago and seminary that I was with, and we never heard of this woke stuff. Didn't matter what background we were, it was not about race. It was about Jesus Christ, and we all toughened up to it and dealt with it, and we loved our Lord. And we do that today. I see you all here today that are toughened up to it and say, Lord, I love you, and no matter what's happening, I will deal with it, and by your grace and your love and mercy. So what are they saying in these universities? Christians are hearing that they are white supremacists by nature. Christians are being called to repent for the whiteness and reject their inherent white frugality. Christians are told that they are complicit in their racist sins and forebears. What they're saying, they're telling you a grand dose lie, is they're saying because you are white, you're a white supremacist. You've heard of that in the news, I'm sure. And even people in our politics say that. And, you know, it makes you want to think, oh, I'm sorry, I'm being intimidated. Oh, I need to go in a corner over there and curl up in a ball and feel sorry for myself. No, God has called us to stand up and fight back, because if we don't fight back for our freedoms, we're going to lose them. And, you know, I was never raised that way. You know, and I'm sure you all were not raised that way to be, you know, somebody says, well, what's this meekness? You know, some people think you're meek, you're weak. No, meek means strength under control. You got it, but you got something better. You got it under control, and you got God's wisdom. So you got everything going for you. So they also blame the whiteness for the cause of poverty, crime rates, shootings, educational disparities, and there's teaching this in Christian universities. They are teaching this in churches. And say, wow, I didn't know that. No, because don't feel bad about it. They did the same thing years ago when Adolf Hitler was taking power. They had 15,000 churches, and 12,000 of them wanted to continue on with their Führer, with their father, as they called Hitler. And the other 3,000 said, no, I'm not going to go with this theology. They were saying that, you know, we need a savior. We need Hitler in Germany. And then what happened was they're saying today, woke. We need woke today. And they're subtly putting this seed in people's minds. So it says here, Christians that are told white interpretation has held the church captive by the white agenda for too long. Where does this all come back to? We know it's originally from the devil. But we also see this happening with teachers. And because of this, this is all another form of socialism, communism, liberalism. The World Council of Churches supports this. And, of course, you have your BLM. What about the Palestinian people that are protesting here in these universities? That's all woke-based, too. Because they're saying, oh, it's your fault, Whitey. Now, I'm not here to cause a racial divide. Because Jesus, thank God, he came to this world to deal with this racial issue. And we'll get to that in a minute. But those people that woke, hear me now, they don't want to hear about Jesus. And that's my argument to them if somebody tries to browbeat me. You know what browbeat means? It's like looking down at you, trying to patronize you, trying to make you feel insecure about yourself. Don't let them do that, right? Stand up for yourself. And I know you all do. And so Christians need to support. The other thing is about universities. Christians hear that they should support cultural relativism, that which means there are no absolutes, and that making judgments on along moral and other lines about cultural practices is wrong. And of course, there's also defund police. Why are they doing that? It's confusing, isn't it? Oh, they're doing it because of the woke, because they're the oppressors. Christianity is not the oppressor. People are. People are the sinners, not Jesus. And I'm bringing this up because the Lord laid this on my mind, because I'm sick and tired of this confusion that's going around. I'm just going to say it like it is. So, quick outline of a course of Theology 101 to you here, okay, this morning. It promotes the wrong salvation, soteriology. They teach in these universities salvation for the oppressors, which is the white person. They need salvation for their sin of racism. That's you and I. Inherited whiteness, their white privileges and the racist actions that spring from such a heart. Number two, salvation of the oppressed. That means that for those who aren't of pure white skin, by the way, we're all of one color. If you're an artist, you will understand that's a neutrality in colors. We all have some whiteness. We all have different pigments of skin, okay? But we're all one, okay, of skin color, but different shades. Salvation of the oppressed. They need salvation, rescued from sociological ills, oppressed, which they are victims of. Let me move on here with ecclesiology. Promotes the wrong view of the church. They argue here with woke and churches and in Christian universities to argue that racial reconciliation must be formal focus of the church by getting involved in corporately in political activism, protests, lobbying for new laws, etc. So they're saying churches need to be involved with this. Why not? Get out there and join us. No, we're not going to join them. We're on the Lord's side. We're going to stand up to this worldly, demonic wisdom. It promotes the wrong view of sin, harmatology. It says here that by nature, oppressors are inherently racist due to their whiteness. Now, listen to this, which is twisted, which puts them in the category of privilege over non-white individuals. In other words, we're the worst of the worst, okay? Why do they keep on pumping this? It's because they want equity. They want everybody to believe in this socialist, communist, globalism, one world church, new age order, which I believe is going to bring in the Antichrist eventually. But it's happening so quick, like it says in Daniel 12, 1 and 2. People shall go to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. We're seeing knowledge happening so fast. And then the end will come. I think that end will come so fast, so quickly. We're seeing this in our last days. Okay, so they promote the idea of white supremacy with the wrong view of sin in action. The woke agenda assumes that white heterosexual male is the greatest sinners, thus making the actions most simple. And that's why they want to bleach out, or probably the wrong word, to color out the white skin. And this sounds, you would say to yourself, well, that sounds on a borderline there being prejudice. Well, in one way it isn't, but in the other way, listen to me, it's not. Because Jesus covers for our sins. We don't look at it with skin color, amen? Because that's a bunch of baloney, you know? Want to put mustard on it, that's okay. But so then we see also, too, the wrong view of man, anthropology, spoken about in these cemeteries. Wokeism establishes human identity and ideas other than being created in the image of God. It says here that rather being primarily disunited, this results in humans being fundamentally united as one human race. They're saying we all need to be get together as one, but there's certain people that need to be put under control, people that we need to take away everything from. And then, of course, however, despite the unity of the characteristics of all people, the woke agenda aims to destroy the consuetant identity by looking at everyone through the lens of power dynamics. Either you're the oppressor or the oppressed. And I'm almost done here, because I'm going to give you some good news here in a minute. Okay? And we could, I could go on and on. When you have notes, when you're preaching 101, okay, in college course, you say, just keep it simple, silly. Okay? Just keep it simple. So there's also, I wanted to say something to it. It promotes the wrong view of sanctification, because people are declared guilty of racism and wokenism. Produces all sorts of rage, resentment, hostility, results not a loving relationship, a divisive one. We are different. You can look at the world out there today and say there's a lot of people protesting, a lot of angry people. I think a lot of people are angry today because they're confused And more than anything else, there's a big mission field. Let me say this, that we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. God wants us to be salt and light into the world. We need to do that. And thank God, as a result, Christ came into this world to destroy this woke philosophy. Any fable or fairy tale, you hear that mentioned in the Bible? Those are stories. Or science, they're so-called. It says that also. When people try to say there is no God, okay, an atheist. Well, the quick and easy answer to that, you know, if you believe that there was no God, you had to believe that there was a God in the beginning, right? You had to believe that. And you look at creation. Things just didn't happen with that way. You have to look at our conscience, right? All right, the second part of there's no excuse for mankind, because they know that there is, but the God of the world has blinded them. And then number three, of course, you have the Word of God. It's all mentioned there in Romans chapter 1. So Galatians 3:28, God counteracts us. Remember, it's the Word of God against the godly wisdom, against the worldly wisdom. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave, free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. So that just tears apart the whole agenda of the philosophy of woke, that they look for a scapegoat, they look at somebody to blame their problems with, and that's, there's your answer, right there, Jesus Christ. And people come, I've had people come up to me and talk about this many a time in the past few years. And my answer is Jesus. I'm not going to get into arguments. It's like talking to the Jehovah's Witness or the Science Society out here that they have. They have all this in a Conemaugh. They have this all in Waukesha. They have all these different churches. And you're like, as a Christian today, walking down the road or praying for your families and your loved ones, and you're saying, Lord, how am I? Who? What can I do? It's, let me tell you, the answer's right here. It's the power of the Word of God. So whether I go with for wisdom from God or mankind, I'd go with God any day. Ephesians 2:13-14, but now in Christ Jesus, you were formerly were far off from having been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one, broke down to the barrier and dividing wall. We need to pray for Israel more than anything else. They have tried over and over again to have a two-state solution. And you know what? The news and the media, they won't tell you that. They'll just lie to you. It's so easy to lie. You got so many people are just so into the news, you know, and they believe everything that the anchor says or this lady says. And, oh, wow, you know, I could never deny, you know, they almost look like to them like they're almost semi-messiahs, you know, almost like they're the teacher of teachers. They're not. They're just regurgitating information that they've been passed down through their superiors to tell you a lie so you believe. And, you know, there's just so much more I could say. But I like what in Colossians 3:10-11 says, I have put the new self, who is being renewed to the true knowledge according to the image of who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between the Greek and the Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Circassian, slave or freeman, but Christ is all in all. Isn't it wonderful that we're all one and all in all? Can you imagine the chaos and the confusion that this worldly wisdom has on us today? That tries to change things and do things differently. So we're very thankful for that. And moving right along here. So what can we say here? And I'm going to tell you the last part here while we still have time. And so let me encourage you, in the latter times that we live in right now, with this false wisdom, we live in days of apostasy. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except for the falling away first. The apostasia, we're seeing it happening today. You can't, it's harder to find, and it's harder to find churches that have not been compromised with this woke philosophy or liberalism or whatever thing. Now remember, anything that takes away from the Word of God, time is precious. So Who's ever up here speaking better be preaching about the word of God while there's the hearers. Faith comes by hearing. And then also 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, in the latter times some shall depart from faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. More and more people have been involved in the occult, but the cults, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Scientists, and Mormons, and Seventh-day Adventists, and so on and so forth. A lot of those people used to sit in the chairs that we're sitting in today, the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they fell away. They decided they wanted to go, what they all promote, work salvation. It's easy to work your way into something. Anybody could do that, work at it. But it's different when you got to think your way and give your heart to Jesus Christ and follow his word. It takes work, and you know that. 2 Timothy 3:1 says this, know also that in the last day perilous times shall come. I'm not going to take away from what Paul's going to say next week. And please be here for that. You don't want to miss that. It's going to be a good message, okay? And, you know, perilous times means dangerous times. There's also the civil and moral corruption going on in hatred and arrest. That's the idea around that word. So we need to be praying. I don't want anybody here to get upset and confused and say, oh, man, you know, I heard what the preacher had to say. No, let me encourage you as I close here. The word of God says this, 2 Thessalonians 2:15, therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold to the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or epistles. Paul's saying, stand still. Listen, know God who I am. Be silent and know that I am God, like it says in Psalms. Be silent and know that I am God. And you know what will happen? You will have people listening and maturing and growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Preserve them which are doing, and thou shalt both save thyself and to hear thee. Hold on to your doctrine. I'm very thankful for this church because there's not many left. You know, it may not be the perfect church, and you know what, brethren, no church is perfect. But thank God we have the doctrine, the word of God, and the love here at this church because we know the truth. 1 Timothy 6:20 and 21 says, O Timothy, keep that which thou hast commanded and trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, oppositions of signs falsely called, which some profess have error concerning the faith. People have come and gone. I pray for these people today that are going from church to church to church. I hope and I pray they find a good home church. This would be a very good home church for you if, you know, you just give it a chance. And then, of course, Jude 1:3 says, Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about your common salvation, I felt necessary to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith. The word contend has the idea to agonize, to deal through your trials and tribulations. Your faith, that's what you believe. That's what you got. That's all you got is your faith. And everything else God allows into your life, which will one day be delivered to him where our treasure is in heaven, to give him honor and glory. Our purpose in life is to glorify the God. And I'm saying here today that we have two types of wisdoms. Let me continue on here and closing here. So we see the ungodly wisdom. Then we see godly wisdom. But wisdom which is first pure, okay, which is the sanctification of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, and we're being washed through the regeneration of the word. It has the idea we're being cleansed on the inside. It's not talking about baptismal regeneration where you get baptized to get to heaven. It's given a symbolic meaning. You're cleansed through the word of God. There's nothing better than taking a nice shower, is it? Or a bath, especially on a hot day, right? It cleanses you. Let me finish up here. And peaceful, I love this. Don't you like having a peaceful day, a peace of mind? Let this mind in Christ guard you. Then it says, be gentle, willing to yield. In other words there, it's godliness with your work clothes on. In other words, you're working out your salvation, but you're being so gentle and so mild. And it does nothing but that can be very attractive to people about the Lord. Willing to yield, full of mercy, which is the opposite of judgment. And in churches, we should never be judgmental. We should be merciful and loving and kind as our Lord has been. But unfortunately, I'm not necessarily saying here, but people get so wrapped up being judgmental and they have evil thoughts and they become very narrow-minded. And no, it's not the straight and narrow way. We need to have love with a backbone behind it. And good fruits, that's the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, without partiality. Oh, I'm more spiritual than you are. I'm better than you are. Remember, sometimes churches can be so childish, so childish. And without hypocrisy. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. In other words, we need to be a peacemaker and to confront these people with wokeism. I'm going to conclude with this because I have 2 minutes left. Okay. It says there are, we see that wokeism, it bears confusion, but with God's righteousness, it bears peace. God will give you a mind in Christ Jesus. Jesus did that for the world when he died on the cross for his sins. And he understand man's confusion. And worldly wisdom gets them nowhere except destruction. In the end, why did Jesus come back in the book of Revelation? Come back at Armageddon? Very, very simply. It doesn't take you spend thousands of dollars taking courses at the seminary. It takes this, is that Jesus came back so that mankind would not destroy themselves. Because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. When did you hear that the last time? We need to keep on sharing the gospel, proclaim the gospel. I say, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, guess what? Preaching means to proclaim. You just tell, and like I said, if you don't know what to say, give somebody a tract. Share Jesus Christ. And you'll experience a joy. There's different kinds of joys that you've never had before if you haven't done that. And then it bears fruit of the righteous. And not every evil thing. See, and I'm closing with this. We'll close with this being said, that we need to bear the good fruit. We need to bear Jesus Christ in ourselves. And we need not to allow things to take away our peace and cause confusion. And second of all, we need not let evil things into our lives. So let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you that there's so much, but yet you can make it very simplistic for us to understand. And thank you for your love. And thank you for your precious son. Lord, who was God in the flesh, and he knows all things. He knows us inside and out. And Lord, we need wisdom. We need wisdom that is first from you. And Lord, when we start getting sensual, please forgive us. That means getting the idea, oh, this feels good, so I'll do it. But that doesn't necessarily mean that everything that we do is good for us. And Lord, help us to have a good digestion of your word this week. Help us to be in tune. Help us to encourage one another. And Lord, help us to promote you and help us to continue to march on with our orders that our chief commander, Jesus, Lord, our captain of our faith, Lord, has told his soldiers to march on. We thank you for this time. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, remember God loves you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, help us to be wise as serpents, but it be as gentle as doves. And through your Spirit, we pray through your word. Amen.